is Rogue Talk on 94.3 The Bridge, your hometown voice. And now your host, the Rogue announcer, Jeff Smith.
And I am the Rogue announcer, Jeff Smith, and this is Rogue Talk for September 29th, 2017. And I'm so happy to be back behind the microphone this week. We had a little change in the football game last week, or at least what we originally had on the schedule, which would have been a home game. And so I had to make the trip to Gold Beach and couldn't do the show last week. I hope you listened to the interview with Stephanie Sturm that we replayed last week. It was a good interview. I enjoyed it a lot, and I was happy to give you folks another chance to listen to that. And not to disappoint, I have another great interview lined up for today. We'll be talking to the principal at Rogue River Junior Senior High School, Jamie Wright, and we'll be talking about all the things going on at the high school and looking forward to this new school year. Of course, we're having her on a little later than we did last year, but nonetheless, we've got some things we want to cover, and we're going to get that done. And unfortunately, 2 weeks ago when I had Stephanie on, I had a little trouble with the break. The interview was going longer past my normal break, and I tried to fix the clock to adjust for that, and I was able to fix it enough that it didn't cut us off, but unfortunately it did cut off the recording of the show. So if you're someone that downloads the show and listens to it later, the end of the show was cut off, and so if you didn't see my Facebook post, the big news that I teased at the top of the show, I believe that got cut off, and you didn't get to hear it. So for the two or three of you that were waiting to hear what that news was, I am officially a grandfather now, and today my granddaughter Brooklyn is 2 weeks old. And we're just couldn't be more pleased to welcome her into the world and into our family. And I've got to tell you that being a grandfather and holding your granddaughter, it was the exact same feeling I had when I held my own kids. And it helps that she looks a lot like me, so that made it feel more like my granddaughter. But she's beautiful despite the fact that she looks a little bit like me. And we just couldn't be more pleased. So for those of you that may have been listening, and I kind of teased my big announcement, and then I managed to, if you weren't listening live, you didn't get to hear it because I managed to screw up the computer and cut off the recording. So that I wanted to get that out of the way. And again, like I said, because I mismanaged the clock last time with Stephanie, I'm going to not make that mistake today. So I'm going to keep this first segment brief, and we will save. We can cover what we need to cover at the end of the show with whatever time we have left. But I want to give Jamie as much time as we can. And both of us are really busy with all kinds of things going on. So we were able to squeeze this in today, and I appreciate that. So the only thing I wanted to talk about, we'll save all the sports for the high school, both the results from this past week and the schedule for the upcoming week. We'll catch that at the end of the show. The only thing I wanted to talk quickly about, and you know, some of you probably could care less, and I understand that, but you can't avoid it. This past week was this whole dust up with the protests with the NFL and what Trump said and all of that. And the only thing I want to say about it is there's, you know, I'm seeing a lot of people taking sides, and you know, I'm right and you're wrong, and really I see it a little bit differently in that. You can disagree with protesting during the national anthem without wholeheartedly supporting what President Trump had to say. And what I mean by that is I agree with his sentiment on the substance of the issue, that if you want someone to be sympathetic to your cause, you shouldn't do things to offend them. You know, when you're offending about, you know, I don't know, a conservative estimate would be about 60% of your audience is offended by this. That's probably not a good way to get people on your side to your cause. So I agree with most of what he said, but he said some things that I feel are really inappropriate. First of all, calling someone an SOB, and I'm not going to say what, if you don't know what that is, look it up, Google it, as they say. That's completely inappropriate. Nobody should be saying that to it, you know, honestly, but the president especially shouldn't be saying it. And he shouldn't be asking for people to be fired. The president shouldn't insert himself in the way other people run their business. He can have an opinion about it, and I agree with much of his opinion on the matter, but I don't agree with the tactics or with the words. But having said that, I wanted to point out just three quick things about this whole thing that I feel are being misconstrued throughout all of the arguing and the fighting. First of all, this is not a First Amendment issue. It is not a First Amendment issue. Yes, you have freedom of speech, but the First Amendment and the rest of the Bill of Rights protects you from the government. It does not have anything to do with what you do in the workplace. Your employer can tell you how you need to dress. They can tell you what you can and can't say. If you're selling Amway to the customers when you're working at Walmart, you're probably going to get fired. They don't like that kind of thing. They don't mind what you do in your free time, but when you're working for them, you have to follow their rules. So in a way, if you want to be upset with this whole thing, I mean, you can be upset with the players, but you know, that doesn't really accomplish a whole lot. I would be more upset with the league for not enforcing their own rules, which say you will stand for the anthem and you will hold your helmet in your left hand and so on. But again, this is not a First Amendment issue. And so if you're arguing that, stop, you just sound foolish. Second of all, it's not about Trump. Now, they made it about Trump. About some 200 players knelt down last week because of Trump, because this was not a big deal. But because he wanted to pick a fight with Steph Curry from the NBA, and then he wanted to pick a fight with the NFL as a whole, he made it about himself, and but they took the bait and they made it about Trump. And that doesn't you don't excuse bad behavior by pointing out someone else's bad behavior. And, you know, I saw a lot of people showing all these examples of where the flag is disrespected and how come you don't speak out about this? Well, you may have a legitimate point that we're not speaking out about those things, but that doesn't justify it doesn't justify you doing something wrong. You know, we learned that in, I don't know, about third grade. You know, the old saying, two wrongs don't make a right. That's the truth of the matter on that. But again, it's not the First Amendment. It's not about Trump. He inserted himself into it. But again, that doesn't give you an excuse to do something that I feel is offensive. And finally, it's not about race. None of this is about race. The protest may be about race. The protest could definitely be about race. But the anger that people have for the disrespect of the flag and the national anthem is not, it's not a racist stance because they happen to be protesting about what they consider a racial issue. I would have the same. I don't care who's kneeling or what they're kneeling about. It doesn't matter to me. I just think it's not the proper time or place for the protest. But again, everybody can have their opinion about this. The main point I wanted to make after watching all the fighting back and forth this past week was kind of those three things that I noticed. It's not a First Amendment issue. It's not about Trump, and it's not about race. And then if we can argue about whether it's appropriate or not, and whether what they're protesting is is something that we need to look at. Those are perfectly good discussions, but you know, let's stick to what's factual and not make it too emotional with adding extra things to it that don't really have anything to do with it. So that's all I've got to say about that. And as I said, I don't want to waste any more time. So we're going to take our first break a little early here so that we've got plenty of time for Jamie. So when we get back, we'll have Jamie Wright from the Rogue River Junior Senior High School. Don't go away.
You're listening to Rogue Talk on 94.3 The Bridge.
When you went car shopping, you meant business. You aced vehicle history searches and test drives. You out-salesmaned the salesman. Now you've got your wheels. If you manage that, you can get your retirement plan on track. Visiting aceyourretirement.org can help. With 401k tips and smart savings strategies, you'll have the info you need to get more for your future. Go to aceyourretirement.org, because when it comes to speeding past financial challenges, you're an ace. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Bringing you Rogue River's weather forecast at the top of every hour, this is meteorologist Ann Holliday with 94.3 The Bridge.
With SRN Sports, I'm Michael Harrington. Let's start with NFL Thursday Night Football. Packers quarterback Aaron Rodgers, he was on point last night, threw for 179 yards and four touchdowns in a 35-14 rout of Chicago. Rodgers hit Devan Adams and Randall Cobb for short TDs in the first quarter, before Jordy Nelson added a pair of second-half scoring receptions to help his team get to 3-1 on the young season. Bears coach John Fox.
Obviously a very poor performance. I think it starts at the top. I think we got out-coached. We got out-played in every area. You know, we've got a lot of work to do. Fortunately, we have a mini bye here, 10, 11 days to evaluate, do things necessary for us to improve. And, that's across the board.
Bears quarterback Mike Glennon had a rough evening. He threw two interceptions and lost two fumbles. Glennon also threw for 218 yards and a touchdown for the 1-3 Bears. This is SRN Sports. Moving on to Major League Baseball. In the American League yesterday, it was the Indians over Minnesota 5-2. The Rays beat the Yankees 9-6, and the Red Sox are glad they lost to Houston 12-2. But with the Rays' win, the Red Sox clinch at least a tie for the AL East title. A's 4, Texas 1, White Sox over the Angels 5-4, Detroit beat Kansas City 4-1. In the National League yesterday, the Brewers beat Cincinnati 4-3 and stay two games behind Colorado for that last National League wildcard spot with three games to play for both teams. Nationals 5, Pittsburgh 4, Miami over Atlanta 7-1, Cubs 2, St. Louis 1 in 11 innings. Golf, the U.S. has won the opening session of the President's Cup for the sixth straight time, winning three matches yesterday and rallying to have the final one. The international team managed to get a half point when Phil Mickelson missed an 8-foot par putt on the par 3 18th. This is SRN Sports.
Back to Rogue Talk, and now joining me in the studio, the principal of the Rogue River Junior Senior High School, Jamie Wright. Jamie, welcome back to Rogue Talk.
Thanks, Jeff. It's great to be here.
Yeah, I'm glad to have you here, and I think now you've caught Rob Heilman for the most appearances on the show. You're tied at 3 now, so he'll probably be texting me to get back on the show and keep his lead.
The race.
So, but no, I'm glad to have you here. A little later this school year than last year. We had you a little earlier last year, but I think it's actually better because we've gotten the school year going, and you've probably starting to get your feet underneath of you, although I know the first few weeks can be tough.
Well, this is the honeymoon is over, so so we're all getting to know each other and trying to find ways to interact in a positive setting and make school fun and engaging. So that in itself is a journey and a challenge, but we try to do it well every day.
Well, and I think that's a good way you put that, because in a way, being your second year as the principal, the honeymoon's over for you too. So
absolutely.
Now people start to, the accountability factor starts to ratchet up, doesn't it? So
as it should.
Yeah, well, absolutely. And although that there appears to be no accountability accountability factor here at the station because they still let me on the air. So, but I'm not paid either. So I guess maybe that's the difference. But no, seriously though. So you're into your second year, and what, you know, we've talked a couple of times, and there's a lot of things, changes that have been made and directions you wanted to go. So heading into this second year, where are things? What direction are they going? And you know, just let us know what's going on.
All right. I think the first thing that I want to talk about, and I shared a little bit of this data at Open House, and I've and it is okay to share because all of the numbers are final with the Oregon Department of Education, and our school report card will come out on October 1st. The state will release that information. So I can share a few things, and I know that ODE kind of these are my calculations based on information that was given to me by teachers, but I do want to say that there is a pretty amazing changes in our completion rate, meaning our kids that walked across the stage with a modified or a regular diploma in 2015-16, that was 80% of our kids walked across that stage with a modified or regular diploma. And last year, 91% of our kids walked across that stage, which is that makes us feel good that we're checking the boxes to get them on to the next step in life and headed towards something successful and something that they're going to, that's going to help them have a great life. We've made great improvements in our math test scores, around an average of 10% improvement in the 7th, 8th, and 11th grade math scores, which is a big deal. My math department has been doing a lot of professional development and working really hard to make, to help kids really not just know how to do the algorithm, but to really problem solve and figure out tough real world math problems and accurately do the math to solve that problem. And I think if it's more than just knowing how to do the process, it's knowing how to critically think, which I think is more important than just knowing how to solve the do the arithmetic. We have had great improvements in our regular attenders, kids that show up over 90% of the time. That's a big deal. We've gone from 76% of our students in 2015-16 were showing up over 90% of the time. And last year, we jumped to 84%. And we're continuing to make that a tremendous goal for us. And it's also in the partnership with the Oregon Department of Education. It's one of the goals for that.
I'd say one thing about that, too, and this sounds a little counterintuitive, but I don't think it is. I think the attendance numbers can get better when you allow kids to miss a day on occasion. Mm-hmm. If your kid has something that you know they're very contagious, keep them home for one
absolutely.
Day so that half their class isn't home for 3 or 4 days. And I think that gets overlooked sometimes, but that's also a way to improve. Don't
yes.
send them off because you have to, but at the same time, again, don't let them get away with, right. I don't feel like it today.
Right. And I think when I talk about attendance, I think the one of the things, like really 90% of the school year we are shooting this year for having our overall school attendance to 96, which is a big goal. But I also think that, like teachers, if we took all the sick days that we are allowed to give in, we would have around 95% attendance. So, it's not just like missing a day here or there is an understandable thing, because in life we get sick. In life people die and we have to go to their funeral. In life there are really, really important things that we have to miss stuff for, and that's okay. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about just getting kids on that daily thing to, like, let's not stay home and watch Jerry Springer or whatever show is on. Let's get to school and do something productive and meet some goals that we set.
Yeah, and I think it addresses the chronic absenteeism. Is that
a
word?
That is a word. That totally is a word.
So I'll let you move on there. I just wanted to touch on that a little bit.
And the last, I think one of the things I'm most proud of, and I feel really proud for our staff. So overall, the Rogue River School District has been, you know, all of the schools in Oregon get put on this 1 through 197 scale. 1 being not good in this case. It's the bottom of the scale, and 197 being the top school in the state. in just 1 year, we've moved from six, which was down there at the bottom, which is part of the reason why we partnered with the Oregon Department of Education, and we've moved to 96, which is a great jump. And it shows the hard work that our staffs are doing at the elementary school and at the high school, because the elementary school is part of the metrics that they use, that we are doing great things in our schools and moving them moving them and the kids onto success in life because they have the education they need to do great things.
Yeah, and I would say I've seen several examples of probably what is helping move that number. And a couple of things we've talked, well, I had Stephanie Sturman here a couple of weeks ago talking about the Gear Up program, and I think that's been instrumental. Mr. Herringshaw running the FFA and some of the other programs there. I mean, the numbers of the FFA, how they've grown, it's amazing to me. I didn't realize how big it had gotten. So I think some of these different programs are and then tying them all together are really, I mean, Gear Up works with FFA when it's appropriate and stuff like that. So is that what you're seeing, that these programs are definitely contributing to that overall movement?
I think if you take what was already there in the last 5 years with what Kelly Gibson and Todd Rose do with the performing arts, and then you add in this amalgamation of really amazing people like Sam Herringshaw, who came in before Hillary Daves, and Max Malcolm and Lucerne Mota, and you take this amazing arts program with those components of Todd and Lucerne and Max, and then you take this amazing CTE or career and technical education piece where I've brought in Nicole Bambino, who is also an ag certified teacher, to help teach science in a real life applicable way. So we have this new greenhouse. We've got our own little laboratory to do scientific experiments in biology that apply to life, and the kids can see how it's relevant to them, and they can, and therefore it becomes easier to engage because it's not up here in this weird, I'm holding my hands above my head. In this theoretical, it's applicable. And once you start doing that, the synapses start firing and moving faster. We've also started working a lot on growth mindset and the idea that you don't suck at everything. and there is no such thing of not being good at something. You have to work at it, and it's something that you're not strong at yet. But the idea that, and so our whole staff is working on that, and us as adults, like, we're not perfect, but if we keep working at something, we're going to get better at it, and we have to model that for our kids. So that's really where our focus is this year, is making the synapses fire across all different subject areas and helping kids enjoy school because they see it's relevant to their lives.
Yeah, absolutely. So was there some other?
No, that is.
We hit the stats. The pertinent
stats.
Statistics. Well, and it's good. We're moving up. We're headed the right direction, and again, I mean all the people that you've mentioned, and others too. I mean,
absolutely.
We're not leaving anybody out on purpose. You just can't name everybody, but yeah, I mean, working together and working toward a common goal, but it's working from all different areas. You know, we hear this in education all the time. Well, we're all pulling in the same direction, but oftentimes it's just words.
Right.
But when it becomes actual actions, that's when the improvement really shows.
Yeah. And I think we have an amazing leadership team, and it's been awesome to work with our new school board and our old school board. Like, they've been very, very supportive of all the programs that we're bringing in, and I couldn't ask for a better superintendent that kind of just says, hey, Jamie, go do your magic. And he's actually used the word magic, which is funny and crazy because he doesn't seem like a magic kind of guy. But and I think that autonomy is what I give to my teachers as well, in the sense of, with support and everything, we can make really good things happen.
Yeah, well, better magic than smoke and mirrors.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. Well, there's a couple of things that are fairly important that we thought we needed to talk about. And so the first one is, I believe it's called Project HALT. Tell us about that and why it's important.
So there's this, out at Hidden Valley High School, there is a foundation that was started by kids, and they're called right now JCF, or Josephine County Foundation. And it's like a club, and they've tried, and they are grabbing students from all the different high schools in Josephine County. And this year they've reached out out to us and trying to build membership for their club, because they do a lot of just essentially community service and service learning. We have awesome stuff going on with our service learning, and I think that sometimes it's good for kids who live so close together to build relationships so that they know that they're all in this together to make the Southern Oregon and Rogue Valley a great place to live for all sorts of people. So when they approached me last year about something called Project HALT, which would be all of the schools in Josephine County and us, we're kind of in this weird little spot between Jackson and Josephine, and oftentimes we get left out of Jackson, to be perfectly honest. So I was glad and happy that they included us and said, hey, do you want to take a stand against bullying? And of course, that's our how we roll is about making sure that everyone feels welcome, making sure that everyone treats each other with respect. It's one of our values and our core values. And I honestly don't necessarily know. I know that there is bullying behavior, but I don't. I want to take a stand, and our school will take a stand against bullying behavior. So we said, yes, we'll sign up. So I said, what does this even mean? What do we do? And they're like, okay, great. You're going to run. And I'm like, what? Run? So what they have done is they've organized all of the schools will run to each other's schools, sign a compact, and then run a torch, just like they do in the Olympics, to the next school. So Grants Pass High School will be running their torch, or it's the same torch, to us on October 13th. And we need about, we can take as many people, because people can run together and one person can hold the torch, and we can do about a 23-mile run. There'll be vans taking kids from spot to spot. We'll take parents, we'll take police officers, we'll take the mayor, we'll take whoever to come out and run. We are running to North Valley High School. North Valley High School, I believe, is running to New Hope Christian. New Hope Christian is running to Illinois Valley, and Illinois Valley is running to Hidden Valley. And I believe it runs back to the city. Hidden Valley will run it back to the City Hall in Grants Pass. And so this is going to be a big, momentous day. There's a lot of stuff going on in our school that day with professional development, but I really did want to make this a priority and get the word out and start recruiting as many kids as we possibly can, because I think it is important for our youth to know that we're in this together and that nobody deserves to experience bullying behavior.
Yeah, well, that it sounds like a really good event, and I would definitely encourage people to get involved in that.
Jeff Smith, are you going to run?
I might do that. I already told Cameron, because I had heard about this previously. I didn't know too many of the details, but I told Cameron, I says, well, you're going to have to do about 20 of those 23 miles. And he looked at me kind of funny and said, yeah, I don't think so, Dad. But yeah, I'm all in if I can run my part, and I'll run my section faster than Cameron, because he thinks he's faster than me now, so I have to prove him wrong.
And if anybody out there is interested, just contact the high school, and Sharon Court will be, she doesn't know this yet, so I'll have to tell her when I get back to the high school, but she'll be writing down your name for Project HALT, and she'll get your name and your phone number, and we can be in contact about the details and the logistics of the whole entire situation.
Yeah, and it's always fun to run a relay race where it's where you're not stressing about the handoff.
Yeah.
I dropped a few batons in my day, and wasn't your teammates don't like that too much. So
well, can't drop the torch, Jeff.
Absolutely. So that's it's a great cause. It's a great awareness that we can raise, and you're out in the community with a relay like that. So it. What a perfect way, really, to raise the awareness. And whenever we talk about bullying, I always like to make the point, and we may have talked about this last time, that not only do we need to stress the importance of that, how wrong bullying is, and that we don't want to tolerate it in our schools or in our society, really. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, we need the kids on the other side of it. We need them to to know how to handle it properly. And you know, we've talked about this in all different ways, and it applies to everything. It applies to sports. It applies to real life in your job. It applies to all of that. There's, you know, there's a responsibility on both sides of the bullying issue. And so any awareness we can raise, you know, I think that's a wonderful thing.
Well, and any time that people who are different get together and hang out and get to know each other, I think it becomes much more difficult to treat that person with disrespect, because we're all walking in this world with a backpack of stuff to carry around. And if the more you understand where someone's coming from, it becomes more difficult to be mean to that person, and vice versa. Like, we all, like, part of life is conflict and communication. And once you learn how to communicate, you can try to work through conflict, because it's inevitable that it's going to happen.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. It's so... don't allow the bullying, but also don't allow the victimhood.
Yeah, absolutely.
Victimhood is not a way to deal with a situation. And mm-hmm. so, yeah, I definitely can get behind this, and you can count me in.
All right.
I'll run my share and relive my glory days of 30 years ago.
Awesome.
So let's move on to another important thing. And this is... There's sort of a relationship there. I won't try and tie it, but I see a little bit there. We have an important deadline coming up with the OSAA related to our sports programs. Tell me what that's about and why it's so important.
So, well, Jeff, I think that the OSAA, is, and this has been out for a while and been talked about for a while, the OSAA is redistricting and reclassifying all of the teams in the state of Oregon into a 1 through 6A system. And that's been the way, I think they're reevaluating every 4 to 5 years to see where is the best place for the kids in all parts of Oregon to maintain an amazing athletic system, but also help make great kids who have great character and all the great things that come with playing athletics. And so I think we are in right now at this moment. Rogue River Junior Senior High School is placed in a 3A league, the Umpqua River League, I think is the name of the one we're placed in.
Now, this is the tentative plan.
This is the tentative plan.
Obviously, currently, that's not the league we're in, but that's where they're planning to have us.
This is where they're planning to place us for the next school year. Right now, we are the smallest school in that league. We have the lowest number of ADM, or the number of kids that go to our school, because ADM is kind of a weird acronym. And then we also, many of those schools in the It would be a challenge for us to be successful in that 3A league with our current number of students and athletes. And what I am asking, I think, on October 16th, a few of us, Rob Heilman, J.J. Moses, and a few of the other coaches, in addition to taking some of the captains and some of the athletes from all of the programs, are going to go up to the executive committee and ask for a reopening of the petition to play down. And in the petition to play down, there are four different criteria that a school can, if the school meets that criteria, they can ask to play into a lower division, which in our case would be the Mountain View 2A5 league. And that includes people that we've been playing forever. Illinois Valley, Lakeview, Bonanza's been in various components in and out. Prospect, Butte Falls are also in that league. And as far as a league, a place where I feel like our athletics would be successful, this would be an excellent place for us. But I think that the executive board of the OSAA, or the Oregon Sports and Athletics or Activities Association, needs to know how important athletics are to our kids and to our community. Because I think up until this last Monday, they hadn't heard from us. And as the building principal, I own that. And I want to make them known, and I want to let them know how proud we are to be Chieftains and how proud we are to have our kids competing and being good sports and being a product of the coaching and the excellence that the adults in our community strive to be, to have them do. And so I need community members to write letters in support, just stating their support for the momentum that's been created by the Booster Club, by the coaching, by the school district. I don't know if the community knows that this is the first year that our middle school coaches have been paid in over 10 years. I also don't know if they know that this is the first year that our Booster Club has had over 300 members and raised $30,000. I also don't know if they know that our athletic participation is more than it has been in quite a while, because we do have boys and girls soccer, and both of those teams actually have enough to compete almost every game. They aren't playing with 10 and 9 players, which has happened in the past. So there's a generation of momentum and awesomeness that is occurring in our athletic programs.
Well, and I would say even the couple of the smaller things, or, and I don't mean that in a disrespectful way, but the fact that we've put, you know, a very respectable cheerleading squad
Absolutely.
Together the last few
yeah.
years, where there was a time where the numbers were really small. The revival of the Rogue River Chieftain Superfans, mm-hmm. the leadership's leadership classes involvement in that, those are maybe not as big as some of the other things, but they definitely contribute to the fact that, you know, we really want to have great sports programs, but when you've almost resigned yourself to the fact that you're playing for third place every year, and you have to be really, really good to achieve that third place position, it can be a little discouraging, and I think it discourages kids from coming out because nobody wants to lose all the time.
Absolutely, and I think when I look at who we are going to play in the Umpqua River League at the 3A level, I think that there isn't a coach or a player out there that signs up to say, I'm going to hope that I don't get, and this isn't meant to be negative, but if you are put in a league where it is going to be very difficult for you to be competitive, it's really hard to hold on to athletes because we live in a place that has options, and it's going to be really hard to hold on to quality coaching. And I think that this decision, I'm going to do everything in my humanly power to see that we do our best to show them how much we care about our athletics and about being in the Mountain View 5A. So I take that on as my personal mission and personal journey for, if not for the next month and a half, but for after, because there is October 16th isn't the end of the journey, but it is the most important and imperative right at this moment.
Well, and one of the things you just touched on there that I think is really important for them to understand is exactly the fact that we're kind of stuck right in the middle of one of the bigger, what's the word I'm looking for? The bigger population centers, obviously not compared to the northern part of the state.
But Medford and Grants
Pass. But with
yes.
Medford and Grants Pass on either side of us, our kids have options of other schools to go to, including two of the schools we compete against, two
right.
of the private
the
schools. And so it puts us in a unique situation that even somebody like Illinois Valley isn't in. It's not realistic for someone in the Illinois Valley to go to one of the other nearby schools. I mean, there's some that do, that come right. over to Grants Pass High School, but most of them don't. It's just not a realistic thing. But for us, there's so many schools within, you know, relative driving distance that it puts us in a really, you know, more unfortunate situation for keeping students. And if our athletics, if we're having losing seasons every year, more of those kids are going to want to leave.
Right. And I think that the positivity that's been created by our fall programs and the success that's being seen at varying levels in all the different areas, I feel like we are moving on up, right, in lots of different ways. And so I think what is also really important, that if you come to support our teams and you come to hang out in the stands and cheer our kids on, I think it is very imperative that we as a Chieftain community and Chieftain Nation demonstrate respect and positive vibes, and just sending it out that we are about our kids and their character. If I can ask anything, if you are willing to write a letter and willing to get on board and speak to the community, I would love for you to contact me me at the high school. I can help you shape that letter. I can give you examples of what we have already written. There have been some great letters already written by parents and coaches like Kim Tambellini and the Nelsons. We have a great community, and I want the OSAA to hear that rumble and hear that chieftain pride loud and clear, and the idea that we're willing to be better and do better and get our kids to a place where they're going to see some success, which would be the Mountain View 2A League.
And that's it. And this opportunity only comes around, you know, what, every 4 years to kind of make your case. And regardless of, you know, how we got to where we are, it's our turn to have our voice heard and not be, you know, again, I've lived in the district for, I think this is my 17th year in the district. I've been involved with the sports programs for most of those years at various levels, whether it was coaching or operating the scoreboard or announcing, of course, and now, you know, even carrying the games on the radio. I'm not affiliated with the school directly, but it's my way to support the sports programs. And it's just unfortunate that year after year after year, again, like I said before, we feel like we're playing for third place. And it's not to take anything away from, you know, really what I'm talking about is the two private schools. They're two excellent schools, but we're just not, we don't have the ability to compete at the level that they do. And so we're stuck trying to beat out Lakeview and Illinois Valley, basically. Mm-hmm. And I think it's our turn to be in a more competitive league, and that league that they're going to put us in, really the only team where we would be competitive with, and not even at every sport, would be South Umpqua.
Absolutely.
And so it actually, I think, would put us in a worse situation than we currently are in the Southern Cascade League.
It is. I think the Southern Cascade League, at least you're playing for third place.
Yeah.
Like, and I think if we go into the it's going to be an obstacle. It's going to be a mountain, and you'll continue to hear me talking positive about we can do it. But I want to make sure it's not the end of the world if we end up in the Umpqua River League. But I definitely think our momentum will be going forward if we end up in the Mountain View 2A.
Yeah, I agree. So both of those issues, we've got the relay coming up on October 13th, and it's an anti-bullying or a bullying awareness cause. If you'd like to get involved in that, and I say and because there's no reason not to do both, if you would like to present a letter to the OSAA, get a hold of the school, get a hold of Jamie at the school. And
can I even say my email address?
Yeah, absolutely. Give them any information.
So it's Jamie, Jamie, dot Wright, Wright, at roguriver.k12.or.us. It's also, you can go to our Facebook page, and I'll put a little blurb out there about that.
I'll put a link to the email also on the, when I put the show up on the website, there will be within
awesome.
The post, there'll be a link to the email, because that's kind of a long one, and I don't think people will remember
it. Yeah, it is a long one. But I thank you, Jeff, for giving me the opportunity to share these two opportunities, because I think they're really both important to our school.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, we only got a minute or two left before the computer will dump me to the commercial break, and I've already made that mistake on the on the show with Stephanie. So, but I did want to ask you about, you know, we previously talked about your 10-year program, mm-hmm. and are there any developments on any of those things that we could just briefly touch on? Like when is the new coffee shop opening?
Well, and I think the coffee shop, like I was explaining before, I think it is in the 10-year plan, but I think we've got some pieces we've got to get into place before that can happen.
Yeah, we talked to Charlie Grenade recently, and yeah, there's definitely a few hoops we still have to go through, but I
think our library is ripe for creating a cool space for kids to hang out, and I think there's also an option for decaf and sugar-free coffee at a high school. And we we have some grant, like essentially what I'm doing this year is collecting grant writing opportunities for stuff for vocational use. And the coffee shop is an excellent example of using for, I think it's called the Creighton Maxi Award, which can give around $30,000 to buying the espresso machine, the roaster, all of the different things that can help create the coffee shop and create the coffee, create the coffee roasting company. So that is more on the, where we're focusing our energy right now is the greenhouse getting up, which it's, I don't know if anybody's driven up to the district office lately, but there's a beautiful, shiny, crystalline building that's doesn't have any plants in it yet. But I am so thankful, and I'll give a shout out to Farming Fish and all of the help that Michael Hasey and Olivia have done to make that a reality. They are amazing community members, and they've given a lot to our kids.
Yeah,
so.
We talked about that last time you were here, and I'm glad to see it's moving forward because that's a cool thing. And so, are there any other you wanted to touch on briefly? We're just about out of time.
But. I think hiring the science teacher that is doing the ag stuff in. Like making that the science vision has been awesome moving forward with that. And then Deb Acosta, who's our new college and career coordinator, is also a career and technical development. So she's helping us with the culinary program and how we put that all together. And so the pieces are fitting in together. We'll continue to. Our culinary program is coming, and I'm super excited about it. The greenhouse has to grow the food, so then we can cook the food. And so we're chipping away at the big plan.
Well, and I just love the way it all ties together. The agriculture department, the FFA, or other department, or other parts of that department, tied into the science, tied into the culinary. Mm-hmm. It all ties together, and it's neat the way I see everyone can work together, and it makes it all better for everybody.
Yeah, and I think one of my biggest things is that I have to remember that slow is smooth and smooth is fast. And so that's our motto. That's why I've given us 10 years to get there. And I think once we start hurrying, things start not getting done as well. So we'll keep checking in, and slow is smooth and smooth is fast.
Yeah, absolutely. And it brings us back to the relay. That's every distance runner knows if you go out too fast, you watch the world go by you at the end. So yes, I would agree with your sentiment completely. Well, we're going to run out of time. I wish we had more time, but we'll definitely get you back as the school year goes on and see how things are going. But I want to thank you for coming on today.
Oh, thank you, Jeff. I appreciate this and the opportunity.
And yeah, and if you'd love to help out with those things we've talked about, get a hold of the school. And again, I will put Jamie's email on the post when today's show goes up on the website so that you don't have to try and skip back and write it down. So thanks again, Jamie.
Thank you.
And we will be right back.
You're listening to Rogue Talk on 94.3 The Bridge.
With SRN News, I'm Keith Peters in Washington. The Secretary of Health and Human Services, Tom Price, has resigned amid investigations of his costly travel on charter flights. Price is the first member of President Trump's cabinet to be pushed out. House Speaker Paul Ryan is praising Price, saying in a statement that the former Georgia congressman is a good man. Thousands of Puerto Ricans were finally getting bottled water and food rations Friday as an aid bottleneck began to ease, but many remained cut off from the basic necessities of life and were desperate for power, communications, and other trappings of normality in the aftermath of Hurricane Maria. President Trump is pledging a relentless effort to help Puerto Rico recover from hurricane devastation. On Wall Street, the Dow by 24 points to 22,405. The NASDAQ rose 43. The S&P advanced 9. Crude oil up to $51.67 a barrel. This is SRN News.
Where the rooster crows. 94.3 The Bridge.
Oh, I wish there was a way to find out what events are going on in Rogue River.
There is.
There is?
Yeah, the website for 94.3 The Bridge.
They have Rogue River events on their website?
Yeah, for Gold Hill, Weimar, and Grants Pass, too. You can even submit your own event for everyone in town to see. And if it's on the website, they automatically talk about it on the radio, too.
That's awesome. What's the address to this site?
It's 943thebridge.com.
N-I-N.
No. Just type the numbers 943thebridge.com.
Oh, 943thebridge.com. Hey, look, they have the latest local news on there, too.
They have everything on there. 943thebridge.com.
My savings are gone.
Okay, where were they last?
Here, right before I spent them on that vacation to Aruba.
Weird. Not weird. Not saving now means no money later. For free ways to save, go to feedthepig.org. This message brought to you by the American Institute of CPAs and the Ad Council.
With the SRN News Business Brief, I'm Dennis Crowley. The Attorney General of Washington State and the City Attorney of Seattle are filing lawsuits against the makers of opioids. They are seeking to recoup costs incurred by government when the drugs are abused. State Attorney General Bob Ferguson and Seattle City Attorney Pete Holmes say they are suing several drug makers. Both officials say the aim is to recoup costs for responding to drug addiction, including money spent on emergencies and social services. Southwest Airlines says natural disasters like Hurricane Harvey will cut $100 million from third quarter revenue by causing the carrier to cancel about 5,000 flights. And on Wall Street, the Dow Jones Industrial Average gained just over 40 points. With business,
back to Rogue Talk, and I want to thank Jamie once again for coming in and letting us know what's going on at the junior senior high school. We're always happy to get that information out to you, and I would encourage you to help out with not only the letter writing campaign for the OSAA, but the relay. I think is a kind of a cool idea, and it sounds like I got tricked into participating in that. So, one community event I wanted to let you know about. I don't have all the details, but I'm hoping to have a quick interview next week to set this up for you. But put this on your calendar, October 7th at from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. The Rogue River Fire District presents the Community Fair, a festival for the whole family. And again, I don't have all the details yet. I do remember them doing one of these last year, and it's a really cool event. But I again, next week, I will hopefully have somebody from the fire department to get on and let us know exactly what's going to be going on. And so we'll plan that for next week. So let's take a look at what's been going on in Chieftain sports. The boys soccer team on Monday hosted Cascade Christian High School, and they lost that game, final score 4-2. And then Wednesday they headed to Lakeview and were victorious in Lakeview, final score 3-2. Next up, they will play tomorrow at 10 a.m. That will be at U.S. Cellular Field, number 14, and they'll be taking on Cascade Christian High School. And then again, next Wednesday, they will play at 4:30, and that will be at home at Beck Field, and they'll be hosting the Canyonville Christian Academy. Then moving on to girls soccer, and I'm going to have to speed this up. I'm going to run out of time. They lost their last game Wednesday at Cascade Christian. They play tomorrow at St. Mary's, also on Field 14 at U.S. Cellular. That'll be at 4 o'clock. And then again on Wednesday, they'll go to Lakeview at 4:30. Volleyball split their games this week. They lost on Tuesday, won on Thursday. They beat Prospect Charter, lost to Lakeview. They will play Cascade Christian on Tuesday on the road, and then home on Thursday against St. Mary's, those both at 6:15. And finally, of course, the football team losing to Gold Beach 24-53 last week. And they will be right here on 94.3 The Bridge tonight at home. Head out to Chieftain Stadium or listen here, 7 o'clock versus Crow. And be good to one another, because Rogue Talk is over. We'll be right back.
You've been listening to Rogue Talk on 94.3 The Bridge.
Listen to Rogue Talk with Jeff Smith, Fridays at 3 p.m. right here on Rogue River's Hometown Voice.
94.3 The Bridge.
Or on demand at 943thebridge.com.